Oh, that'll do.
Get it out.
What's Cooking?
Get it out.
Supported by Auckland art gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.
You should have David Farrier on the line in a whole other country there, mate. Dun, dun.
Yeah, kia ora. How's it going?
Oh, we're good. We're good. How are you? Where are you?
I'm really good. It is 11:06 p.m. here in America. It's quite rain today, which is rare for Los Angeles, but it's so nice to be with you both.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours, David. To have a celebrity such as yourself on the line is awesome.
I'm a big fan of you, and I jump at any opportunity to share music with anyone that will listen. So this is, oh God, I mean, this is a thrill. So thanks for having me.
Hey, just on that, what was the brief that John gave you for this What's Cooking edition? Because they do tend to sort of waver all over the place. We've got all the tracks in front of us, but I'd love to know what you guys have sort of cooked up here.
David had recently attended
Psycho in Las Vegas. I found myself...
John tapped out.
Yeah, Psycho Fest. It's a... I'd never been before. I'd always wanted to go. But it is a festival that takes place at a hotel in Los Angeles. And it's basically... It's a lot of metal music, a lot of rock music... it's Psycho Fest. I mean, the name probably says all you need to know. But it's really unique because it's as I say, it's all in the one hotel, and there's three different stages. There's like an auditorium. There's like a Vector Arena equivalent. So there's that thing sitting there in the basement. And then there is like a hotel bar. So in the middle of the casino, they've got a stage. And so there's metal playing there all day, or DJ sets. And then there is the beach stage, which is just outside, which is this artificial wave pool. And they have the sand, there's lifeguards, and then there's a stage where, you know, the likes of Pig Destroyer would play. So this was like my dream situation, to be like dumped into the middle of a casino that's also a metal festival.
It sounds
it's
so
pretty
Vegas.
Much heaven to me. Yeah, it's very... It's very Vegas, and I haven't spent a lot of time there, but what I always like about it is you've got this sort of exciting yet depressing gambling going on everywhere, but then just weird crowds of people mixing with these like depressed people at slot machines. And you know, it might be like cowboys, or it might be like MMA, like some MMA crowd, but yeah. This like a couple of weeks ago it was like metal fans in black t-shirts.
What did you get there a day early and go to Psycho Swim? Did you catch Here Lies Man?
No, I didn't. No, I was in and out. I didn't have a lot of time, so I was in on the Saturday and I was out on Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I was really keen to see Def Heaven because I know them a little bit, so I wanted to see their set. And then when I saw, so I was always going to go for Def Heaven. And then when I saw who was on like the rest of the set list, I mean, you had like Danzig was playing and Pig Destroyer was there. And the Flaming Lips were also on the main stage. I don't know if this is a normal thing with this festival, but they always put some non-psycho band as well on the set. So you'd have like Danzig and Pig Destroyer and
Thievery Corporation.
And you'd have
Jizzing.
The Flaming Lips, which is like heaven.
Yeah.
The lineup is absolutely stacked. We got the Sword, Red Fang, Ty Segall. It definitely looks like a super powerful situation.
You did Frankie and the Witchfingers. It's out the gate. If you like your guitar music, it is a festival.
I feel like there's just like every single room is going to have the TV thrown out of it kind of situation. Hey, you mentioned Death Heaven, and we've actually got that first one lined up. I feel like we should get a track under our belt and come back and have a chat. This one's called Villain. Anything you wanted to mention about that, David?
Yeah, I think this band is kind of fascinating because they've been, obviously, they've got some pretty sort of black metal influences, but this new album is very different. George, their frontman, he's really singing for the first time, and it's a very different record. So this song, I guess, illustrates that, but it also, like, towards the end, really cracks into some like really good shit. So I love this song so much. I love it. I love it. I hope you enjoy it as well.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Very nice, very post-rock.
Yeah, super shoegazy, very different vibe to their other stuff. And I guess the cool thing about seeing them in Vegas was they played their Years Gone By set. So it was like they're like the last 10 years. So all the, like the super aggressive, loud stuff, it was like getting that out of the system before like their next tour, which will be this new stuff, which was much more mellow. So yeah, it was cool to see them. And it was neat to see them in somewhere as weird as Las Vegas.
Now, David Farrier, why are you in America at the moment?
That's a good question. I came over here for some work, which I'm sort of chipping away at, and I can't talk about too much, but I was assuming I could sort of come back to New Zealand at some point, but it's much more difficult to get back than I originally anticipated. So I'm sort of stuck over here. Which is fine.
Visa-wise, how does that impact the visa that you're traveling on?
I'm a journalist, so I'm good to be here. So mm-hmm. I've got my little visa all sorted.
Okay, but,
so it's not like that's a problem. It's more just a problem of. It's funny. I can kind of go anywhere in the world but New Zealand at the moment, which is weird. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have a British passport because my dad's British. I can go to London. I can go to Berlin. I can sort of go anywhere but New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So that's okay. So I'm kind of kicking around in the States at the moment, going to some metal festivals. Life is odd here. Everyone just is so used to wearing a mask now.
Yeah.
And everyone... Yeah, certainly on the West Coast is pretty polite and fair, and we're sort of in this lifestyle where people, yeah, are just super safe, and it feels okay, although it's a very different vibe to New Zealand, obviously.
It's funny, you know, the Americans cop a lot of flack, but there are so many awesome Americans when you actually land there. They're great people.
Yeah, I guess like any country, there's like really good ones and really bad ones, and I think I'm lucky enough to sort of be in an area where everyone's pretty switched on. I mean, I got my vaccination the second day I landed here, and this was like 4 months ago now. The system's just so well set up, and if you turn up, they'd give you a vaccine, which is awesome. So mm-hmm. I'm Pfizered up to the eyeballs, which feels great. It gives you a certain level of safety. Mm-hmm. But you just act sensibly. You know, you can still be carrying it, so you always wear a mask and you wash your hands and you do all those sensible things. PsychoFest probably wasn't the most sensible decision, but it was a lot of fun. And everyone there was wearing their masks. Like everyone was pretty onto it, which felt good.
Were they pretty much all black masks? Some of them had kind of like a weed leaf on them or something.
There was both those things. both those things. Most of the fashion was on like the t-shirts, I'd say. There was a pretty wide variety of masks, but oh my god, so many black t-shirts.
Now you've chosen some Danzig for us. Had you ever seen Danzig before? He's kind of on my bucket list of people that I would like to see perform, ideally with the Misfits.
Oh, well, my God. I mean, you and I are very different here because I was never, and I know this is terrible, I was never a big Misfits fan. So I've never seen Danzig perform in any iteration, really. Mm. But I got really kind of turned on to him when he made this really terrible film a couple of years ago, which is kind of like
the
vampire
movie? A room-esque.
It's Steve Yeo's reviewed it, and he said it was basically the Room.
Well, because he's kind of got that like that. He does have that same sort of body that's just like it's a specimen, but he's fucking white as, and it's like a real.
Oh well, no, I mean, so when I saw Danzig play a couple of weeks ago. There's only a few people that have taken to a stage where I've just been like transfixed by them. And the first time it happened to me truly was with Chris Cornell about 15 years ago.
Yep.
And he was like this beautiful man. And I couldn't believe he was in front of me. I was like, he's tan, he looks beautiful. Mm. He's very lithe, he's got wonderful hair. And when Danzig came onto stage, it was like that, but the opposite. It was like the weirdest fucking creature I'd ever seen. He's
a unit.
He's so short and so wide and so big And his face is so weird.
Gnarled by time.
I was just in awe of what I was watching. Like, honestly, Danzig has a presence. And I've also, like, found out, because he lives in Los Angeles, and there are so many stories about Danzig over here. Like, I think he lives in Studio City now, but he was in Los Feliz, I think. And he had this old house that was, like, it was like notoriously run down. It had like a hole in the roof. There'd been an earthquake. It never repaired it. And famously, there was this big like pile, because it was in quite a nice part of town. And there was like a big pile of bricks on the front lawn. And all the neighbors would get like deeply annoyed that he had all these like bricks on the front lawn.
Construction.
And there's a story that went around. I just was rereading it the other day. And some guy who claimed his neighbor was Danzig, and he kept fighting over this big pile of bricks, and the neighbor was like, clean your bricks up, Danzig. And then he said one day he was out in his front yard and he just sees Danzig hurling bricks into his dumpster, and he's screaming, here I am, motherfucker, just cleaning up my fucking bricks, really loud,
motherfucker.
Anyway, so like Danzig. And of course, there's that really incredible photo of Danzig one time with, for no reason, just leaving a pet store with like a massive thing of kitty litter under his arm and all this cat food. That's a reason.
That's a few reasons.
My point is, I'm not obsessed with the music, but I'm a big fan of Mother, as we all are. And so I wanted to play Mother for you because, I mean, what a song. My God.
Agreed.
Oh, this is live, I think.
Totally fine. That's totally fine.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words. What they mean, what they say. Mother. Oh,
Did it sound kind of like that, David? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice having that live rendition of it, because it's like being transported back into the room, you
it's
know?
It's sufficiently overcooked, eh? Like, just he's in the zone. It's a big crowd. Very nice.
It's really good. There's this guy I really love on Instagram called Richard Parry. He's an artist in Auckland, and every lockdown he has like his 30 songs of lockdown that he plays, and every day it's just Danzig's mother. Like, each day it's just that, and it's like, today's a song all in lowercase, like today's a song with like a big chorus, and every day it's just mother.
Yeah, there is a massive groundhog effect to this whole situation that we need to embrace, so it's good.
Oh, so, no, it captures the feeling of the whole thing. But yeah, so that was Danzig. I'm very glad to be in the same city that Danzig lives in. Mm. I hope to see him walking down the street at some point. That would be a dream come true.
Do you have any idea why he hates the Misfits?
Probably the haircut.
I don't know. As I say, my knowledge of Danzig is just so terribly poor.
Mm.
I just love that one song a lot.
Yes.
But he's, I don't know. I'm more interested in his filmography in a way. He's got a vampire film coming out. I think it's at festivals next year. There's a trailer out. It looks equally as bad as the last one, and I can't wait to watch it.
Now, ages and ages ago, the Flaming Lips played the Big Doubt in 2004, and I regret not seeing them. I missed them.
I saw it, John.
And I heard that their set was incredible.
He had big fake hands, and you would have loved it, mate.
David, you saw them at Psycho Las Vegas. How would you describe that experience?
Was he in a Zorb kind of thing?
Of course he was in a Zorb. Of course
you
he
know
was.
He was in a Zorb.
Wayne cannot not be in a big bubble. I was transfixed by the Flaming Lips. You know, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots was
fantastic.
It's one of my favorite
such
albums
a good
of
record
all time.
It's like so good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel it's one of those records you could hand to literally any human on the planet and they would love it. Like it's so there's something very universal about it. And yeah, after watching a day of metal bands play, having the Flaming Lips on stage was this wonderful peaceful experience, and their whole stage thing is basically like, let's just get these objects we can blow up and there'll be a prop. So like there'll be like a giant blown up robot on stage, and then that song will finish and they'll quickly deflate it, and suddenly there'll be like a big blown up ball and he's inside the ball, and it's just this joyous thing. And yeah, it was wonderful. His hair's wonderful. He's like reasonably unhinged. I think he found it very funny, the idea he was playing at an event called Psycho Fest. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he's a total psychedelic hero, man. What's the chap's name? What's the lead singer's name? It loses me now.
Wayne. Just Wayne.
Just leave it at Wayne.
Just Wayne.
This is Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, part one from the Flaming Lips. Enjoy. As chosen by David Farrier, by the way, on the line all the way over there in the United States of America.
But you programmed to destroy us. She's gotta be strong to fight them. So she's taking lots of vitamins, 'cause she knows that it'd be tragic if those
selected by David Farrier, all the way from the USA.
The thing is, nobody wants to be eaten by robots. That's like it's like a universal feeling. So that's why it's that's why so many people can relate to that song.
Now, David, what have you been filling your days with in the USA, being stranded over there?
Over here, what am I mostly doing? Well, I write my little newsletter called Webworm, which I send out a couple of times a week, which for the past week has sort of revolved around some cease and desist letters I've been getting from lawyers about stuff I've been writing. So that's been kind of fun. So Webworm is going strong, and I do a podcast every month with Dax Shepherd and Monica Padman called Armchair and Dangerous, which is just sort of looking at and examining sort of conspiracy theories and disinformation. So that's been a lot of fun. We're doing a live show in Salt Lake City next month, which should be a bit of fun. So yeah, I do sort of a podcast and my newsletter, and I'm finishing a documentary back in New Zealand, which will hopefully get done at some point.
Nice. I listened to the podcast that you did about UFO sightings, and that sort of carry on with those, with that pairing of people. How have you guys sort of digested the dump or lack of information from the US government about official UFO sightings, etc.?
Oh, I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's so much, and there's been a few dumps that have gone on. Obviously, we had a very big one this year. But you know, I mean, I'm pretty, in talking to various debunkers and some of the skeptics, and I talked to one of the pilots for research for that episode, and
David Fravor?
A lot of it can be
Oh, rad.
A lot of it can be explained away by, I believe, by you know, issues with the cameras, light bouncing off things. I think the juiciness of craft that are traveling at speeds and doing maneuvers that seem impossible, I think just it's juicy, but I don't buy it myself when you look at some of the other explanations available. So I'm pretty skeptical about that stuff. But it's exciting to have all that material to sift through.
Have you seen the phenomenon?
Is that the one with John Travolta? Or am I thinking?
No, it's a Stephen Greer documentary. It's quite interesting. He's actually done a couple. He's done an even more recent one, which leans more into the fact that it's potentially tech that the US has had for a while. It's a buzzy. Buzzy time. Around. It's a buzzy time for sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, I think it's really fun to lean into these ideas that it's either, you know, either American or foreign technology, or UFO stuff. But I honestly think a lot of it can just be explained away with like much more boring explanations.
But that said, the US government have said that there are UFOs that they don't know what they are, and they're not describing, you know, they're not saying, oh, this is this or that. They're saying they don't know. And you can assume that they're putting all their resources into finding out what it is. If for them to say that they don't know what it is, the most powerful army on the planet, I assume, it's, you know, that's something for sure, right? I mean, it's pretty fucking far out.
Yeah, it is. No, it's definitely an interesting interesting take, but again, I think a lot of it can be explained with like light bouncing off some like curved camera lenses on like fighter jets, you know.
But then there's the actual witnesses though. And they're fighter pilots. I mean, these people are trained
they're fighter pilots, but they're not like experts with like their onboard camera gear.
No, not at all, but they saw the things, and then the camera gear confirmed it, right?
Fucking agent molders here, aren't I?
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to tell me something that I kind of
David, what
changed my mind?
Conspiracy?
No, I'll never change your mind. If you're convinced that there's something crazy out there,
I'm not convinced. I agree with the US government in saying that there's UFOs that we don't know what they are. I'm just agreeing with what the government has said from the USA.
Yeah. I mean, there's things out there they can't fully explain. I'll jump on board with that. That's very acceptable. I think the jump from that to there's
aliens, man,
that we don't know what it is, or there's aliens, I don't make that jump.
Yeah. No. But I mean, the mind has to sort of start wandering once you unidentified is a word, and that's quite a powerful word, especially if you're an Air Force or a Navy or something, you know.
No, I'm all for your take on that.
David, do you have any fascinating mysteries or sort of paranormal stuff that you've been looking into recently?
I've been sort of diving into this old story that I've always been fascinated by. It happened a number of years ago now, but there was it's a bit of a downer of a story, actually, but there was this a couple that married, and they were having some relationship difficulties, and the husband ended up taking his life, and he gave his heart. He was an organ donor, so he gave his heart to another person, and so he went into that, and then his wife went and met a brand new partner, a new man. They got married. And she found out after the fact that he had received her previous husband's heart.
Yes.
And so she was dating like another man, two men, one heart.
That's powerful. Fuck, that's powerful.
Powerful. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Oh, and man.
You can't write that.
Forget about UFOs,
then,
man.
You know, the second husband
turned
also
evil.
Went and killed himself.
Oh shit.
So that poor heart couldn't catch a break. You know, the body it was in just continuously wanted to not be there.
Or,
And so anyway, that's something that I've been re-exploring recently, because it's always stood out as just such an amazing coincidence. And sort of just, you always think of like, you fall in love and you're sort of the heart, you know, you're attracted to this other person's heart. And I love the idea that this heart you're attracted to jumps into another body. And so of course you chase that other body.
Yeah. Especially
you want that heart.
Especially considering the unquantifiable power of love and like, what even is that, you know?
I know.
That
what is love?
It's very,
you know,
mystical.
What is it?
Yeah. Cool, man.
So no, that's something I'm into. So I'm into that. I'm not into UFOs, but I'm into that. So what does that say?
It's power of love. Now, David, the next tune you have pulled up for us is by a band called Pig Destroyer. What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, Pig Destroyer are just, all I want to say is that they're incredibly intense. And I mean, this is one of their big hits, The Diplomat. And
big hit? Yeah.
I just, when you listen to this, just imagine that you are in
poolside,
this weird
in Las Vegas
hotel pool
gambling.
Like, you're in the water, the waves are rolling in, there's an artificial beach, there's lifeguards, and all the people moshing to it are like half submerged in water wearing face masks. So just imagine that while you're listening to this.
Yeah.
And you're back in the room. Consider that pig fucking destroyed, eh? I never liked that pig anyway, kind of thing.
Pig Destroyer is such a good name for a band. I love it so much.
It's very front foot. And do you know what?
It's very perfect front, fit. It's just so funny as well. Like, who wants to destroy a pig, you know?
Apparently half the planet, really. So
half the planet. Yeah, it's the sad truth.
Did you have time to let your hair down and, like, throw caution to the wind at Psycho Las Vegas?
I mean, what else do you do at Psycho Las Vegas, you know? I mean, I was staying in a great big pyramid. That was the other weird thing. I found out I was at the Luxor because they had heavily discounted rooms, which was great.
Amazing.
A great situation.
Yeah.
And I feel it's haunted, the Luxor. There were a number of construction workers that died when they made it, and apparently they haunt the hallways, which is kind of incredible. And then because of like the shape of it, like the indoor lobby, because you're inside this big like fake pyramid, it all slants in. So they've had quite a few people like jump off the balconies as well, like into the casino.
No.
So that's been quite brutal. Someone let off a pipe bomb in the basement at one point that killed someone. Tupac was staying there when he was gunned down on the strip. People have been stabbed there. Someone fell down a lift shaft at one point.
It's weird because I was going to ask you if you felt the power of the pyramid, but it turns out
exuding. You do. And the other crazy thing, the Luxor, like their big gimmick, they shoot this big like beam of light out of the top of the pyramid into the sky, and it creates
that's
a
unhelpful
certain, like, ecosystem because it attracts so many moths. It also attracts bats, which eat the moths.
Fuck.
And so there's just like a flood of bats on top of the pyramid. So
circling
it is,
around.
Like,
sounds great. It's cheap
truly
rooms.
Nightmarish. So yeah, cheap rooms of the Luxor. That's my little tip for you if you ever end up in that horrible city.
Good great. Parties though. Good parties.
Good parties. Yeah, they had that bodies exhibition on as well, that horrible thing which I will never go to, where they exhibit people's torsos that have been sort of cut apart and sort of shown from the inside.
Oh, like spliced down the middle,
formaldehyde
kind of thing. Incredibly
questionable where they get the bodies from.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Sort of pretty dodgy where those bodies are sourced from. But of course, that's at the Luxor as well. So the whole thing is just a big trash fire.
Las Vegas is totally cooked. I did hear there's a place where you can go and operate like massive diggers and just you can smash around cars and stuff. They've got like a few blocks dedicated to
that sounds about right.
Get on them, man. Hey David, we've got one last track from you. It's called Halsey, sorry, that's the band. I'm
Halsey.
Not a woman, I'm
yeah,
a god.
Yeah, Halsey. Yeah, I really like Halsey's got this new album out this week actually, and it was produced by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross of Nine Inch Nails, and it sounds very Nine Inch Nail-y, as you can probably tell when you listen to this, but this song's particularly good. The whole album's really amazing, but I really like this song.
Right on. Well, we should probably say a massive kia ora and thanks for chatting to 95BFM. It's always a pleasure to...
Oh, it's been so nice to be here. Honestly, thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to play some tunes, and please stay safe. And I'm so glad the vaccination is rolling out over there. Things will return to normal in no time at all, I'm sure.
Awesome, David. We will...
See you
in touch.
See you when we see you.
Yeah, see you.
Keep in touch. Yeah.
Something. We'll... See you around, man.
Keep sane, okay? Yeah. Stay sane. Keep looking up to the sky for those aliens and UFOs. They're up there, man.
Ka pai, ka pai. All right, kia ora, mate. Thank you very much.
Kia ora.
What's Cooking? Supported by Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.